It's like somebody once told me, you know how God is gracious to you? And I said, oh, Bill Rector, you know Bill.
Yep.
Chris. Bill said to me, do you know God is gracious to you? And I said, how? And he said, because at no point in your life will he ever let you fully understand the complete nature of your sinfulness.
You're listening to the Empowered Parent Podcast with Ryan and Kayla North, hosted by Chris Turner, a One Big Happy Home production. This podcast equips parents to empower their children and build healthy relationships throughout the home in order to see lasting change and thrive as a family. It's for families of all kinds, especially those who are parenting kids through adoption, foster care, kinship care, or in the process. The Empowered Parent Podcast is a developmentally informed, trauma-sensitive, connected parenting resource. To learn more, visit onebighappyhome.com.
Greetings and welcome to another episode of the Empowered Parent Podcast. Joining me once again are Ryan and Kayla North. Hey guys.
Hey Chris.
Did you do as always last time? Because I know he tries to fluctuate. Don't we have somebody who tracks this?
Somebody.
Hello, does. Chris. Yeah.
Listener, if you're the one that tracks what I say when I introduce Ryan and Kayla, please reach out to us, podcast@onebighappyhome.com. We're very interested in knowing what the count is right now.
And also, we commit to remembering your name.
Right.
If you email us. Instead of listener who tracks.
Right.
Somebody commented in the podcast group that they were the one that was tracking for us, but I can't remember who it was.
You know, we probably think more highly of ourselves if you didn't share that information, because now we should have known.
Now you have to go back and look.
Now we look
it
bad.
Was a while ago, so.
Yeah, in my defense, I'm getting older.
Yeah.
I went for an eye exam today. I took our almost 16-year-old daughter with, both of us had eye exams today, and the doctor said that my prescription had changed a little bit. I still only need readers, so that's the good news. But she does not need her. She has 20/20 vision, and she did not say thank you. She did not say I'm grateful for that. She went, it's because you're old, Dad.
Thanks, sweetheart. Thanks for pointing out that obvious.
Yes, the old eyes.
Thank you. I've got to share my driver's license with this group today. Just check my date of birth. Okay, what are you talking about?
Well, funny you should bring up a story about your child, because that's what we're going to be talking about today. Specifically, what's that?
Is it funny?
It's well,
or was it well placed? Since hey, I'm gonna let the listeners in on a secret. We actually decided the topic before we first record.
Shh, not a surprise.
All the secrets, Ryan.
In fairness, now that is
some mystery behind it.
In fairness, that's the amount of prep we do, but we do actually all three start the episode
knowing what the topic is.
We're gonna talk about.
Yes, that's true.
They're just also politely asking me so that you know what it is that we're going to talk
there
about.
There we go.
Yes, your listener. Exactly.
And what we're going to talk about is how to tell your child their story.
Yeah, which, and you know, if you were talking to a group of people who were not adoptive and foster parents, they'd be like,
What do you mean?
What do you mean tell them their story? But
my mom can tell them. She's their grandmother.
But we do it naturally, right? You know, when you have a biological kid, you naturally talk about the day they were born, or you talk about, you know, when they were little, and
talk about your dad's Uncle Bill and something that they did when your dad was a kid.
Yeah. So you naturally tell them the story because you were there for every second and every minute of their story. But with our kids who didn't come to us at birth, or who didn't come to us, you know, who weren't born into our family, we don't know every second of their story.
I think that's an important detail, right? Because sometimes we kind of maybe gloss over that. But the reality is we don't know everything.
Yeah.
And the temptation to fill in the blanks must be fought with every ounce of your being.
Yeah. Because your kids are going to fill in those blanks themselves.
For sure.
For sure. So one of the things, like we go full courtroom drama at our house a lot, in that that my children ask me a question, I'll answer it directly, and then they'll ask more. And I'll say, I can only testify to what I know. And I can. And I think that is, and it's not just because I do it, but I think that's a really healthy way to be, particularly with children who want to fill in the blanks, is to create this we only know what we know.
Yeah.
And we can find out answers, and we can go back to paperwork, and we can find whatever, because we know people who like searching, finding birth families and all those kinds of things. Like we've done that. We know the birth families of two of our kiddos personally. And so we've done all those things, but until you have answers, because what happens is when we fill in the blanks, we tend to make ourselves look better and the other people look worse. And I know that's likely nothing either of you wanted to say this evening, but I think that that's true, though, is we're always the hero in the story.
Yeah.
And we have to fight that.
Which is kind of a natural thing, too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I don't think
any of us approach it from a malicious standpoint.
Agreed.
It's just, yeah.
But you have to fight it, though.
Right.
Well, and the same is for our kids, right? When they are trying to put the pieces together, they're not always going to ask us the questions. Mm. They're going to fill in the blanks,
yes.
And it's going to make everything seem better than it was.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes we, you know, I've heard parents will say, well, my kid just makes up stories about their childhood,
Testify.
You know, but the reality is they're filling in blanks with things they don't know. And we may not know the answers to,
because which
that's hard.
It really stinks. It really stinks to be able to wanting to give your child answers and you have nothing to give them.
Yeah.
Yes. I think we need to recognize that it's a difficult situation for everybody, right, because there might be some people who are struggling with this going, is it me that I think this is difficult? Or, you know, like, cause we did the previous episode about that voice of doubts, and you could have a lot of doubts on how to handle this one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. And so I don't think there's a manual for it.
No.
I don't think there is a prescribed way for it. And we can talk about it. We can talk about some of the things we've done. We can talk about some really good practices that have been taught to us. But at the end of the day, it all comes down to you being the world's leading expert in your child and understanding how much of the story they can handle, what pace they can handle, and all of those things.
What developmental age, not physical age, they can handle, too.
Yeah. Number of days since you arrived on the planet is rarely relevant outside of interacting with the government, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, and I think for us, we had some parts of our kids' stories that they didn't have memories of, but that were really hard.
Yeah. Yep.
And I remember before we were able to talk to them about those parts of their story, being really scared about the day we were going to have to talk to them about those parts of their story.
Right. Yeah.
You know, knowing that those pieces were going to likely hurt them or were going to likely cause some uncomfortable conversations or some conversations that, I've heard parents even say, like, I'm just not going to tell them that part because that's just going to hurt them. And I'm like, you can't not tell them. It's their story.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to know there's something else out there, or somebody else knows the story, they're going to hear it from somebody, and then they're not going to trust you.
Well, particularly if you have a child who came at birth and who resembles you physically, right?
Yeah.
Is the same race, ethnicity, or whatever, right? There's a lot of people, and I still am somewhat surprised by the amount of people who are like, I never told him he was adopted.
Mm. Yeah.
And now he's like 14, and like,
I don't know how to approach it.
Is it worth it? Is it going to rock the boat too much? Yeah. And all of those kinds of things. If you know us at all, and many people listening do, and you know us very well, Chris, you have likely heard my wife say things like, I have no filter.
because he doesn't.
We don't have
time. He assures me that he does.
We're not getting into this conversation again. Continue, Ryan.
filters have settings. They don't come with one setting. But anyhow, I've also been accused of being blunt. I've also been accused of enjoying difficult conversations. Now, I will push back on that one. I do not enjoy difficult conversations. I am not. I don't.
No, I know.
But
you're willing to have them.
I'm willing to have them.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, and this is something that my dad took him 40 years to understand about me. And by that I mean is he probably only started paying attention to it by the time I was 10. You know, I'm 48 now. But he and I were talking a couple of weeks ago, and I said, you know what I've realized is that if I think you need to know something, because it's not because I necessarily need you to know it, but because I think it's going to help you, and it's going to be hard, I will go, I need to put my feelings aside and how this makes me look or feel or how you feel about me, and I need to tell you, and you're likely going to be mad at me in the moment. But in the long run, you'll appreciate that I told you, and you'll be grateful that I did, because if you hear it, it's just meant to be counsel for your benefit. It's not meant to manipulate you. It's not meant to control you. It's meant to help you. And so that's how I approach it. That's how I approach it in relationships with people. And I think that's the way that we try to approach it with our kids, right? I don't think that you're necessarily that direct with people as I am, Kayla.
Yeah.
But I think that you are very gently some version of that with the kids. You know what I mean? Because you have to. You can't. Like they deserve to know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the end of the day, the fault, the only filter that matters for me is it's their story. They deserve to know. And it rocks the boat sometimes. We've made mistakes. Right. We've let people into the story too early. We've let people into the story too late.
Yeah.
We don't have to get into either of those, but you just have to hear us say we've made mistakes in the way we've handled it.
Mm. Yeah, because there's not, like you said, there's not a book on how to handle this.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm sure people have written books about it, but it's not, you know what I mean? Like there's not
That'd be the funniest thing I've ever heard you say. There's not a book on this, even though I'm sure people have written a book,
but there's not a one size fits all. That's what I mean to say. There's not there's, you know, your car has a manual for exactly how to operate that car.
It's not like
everyone's unique.
Yeah, it's not like there's the how to tell your child their story Bible.
Right, exactly.
You know what I mean? There's no version of that.
There are some helpful things that, you know, we've learned along the way. There are helpful, you know, people that we have listened to that have said, oh yeah, this is a way that helps your kids not feel like bombarded with information, but really, it's kind of like when you're talking to your kids about sex, like, you don't just one day go, okay, let me tell you about the birds and the bees, which is what we used to think, like, don't say anything about it until that day you have the talk. But instead,
the talk,
you know, but it's like, instead what we know now is that you should slowly introduce things at an age appropriate level that they can understand until one day they put it all together and realize, oh, that's what that is, or that's how that happens, right? Yeah. And the same is true with their story, right? You start off when as early, you know, if the older they are when they come to you, the more actual memories they have.
Yep.
But there's still a lot of missing information because we all know, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I don't remember a whole lot before like 5 or 6, you know, and even then it's still spotty, sketchy.
It's kind of weird. Like, I don't know what it is about that, but I feel the exact same way that I can remember being walked to my first grade classroom on the first day of school.
Yeah.
And remember a bunch of stuff. But before that, everything is just kind of blurred memories of playing with kids in the neighborhood.
Right. Yeah. Right. You can remember a thing here or there, and then you're not really sure if you remember it or if somebody told you a story about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or if you saw a picture and you put together a story, you know, like the way it works, you don't really know. So even if your kid came to you at 7 or 8 and they can tell you about their birth family, like they don't remember all the things.
Right.
And so we have to fill in the best we can, but we have to do it in little pieces. Like, it's not just like you go, okay, let me sit you down and tell you the story.
Open up your case file.
Yes, exactly. I mean, with our oldest, you know.
On day 4023 of your existence.
Yeah. With our oldest, we had been telling him, you know, all of the pieces of his story. And then, yes, when he was 18 and he was like, can I see the file? You know, because we have a whole bunch of binders.
Oh, yeah, we do.
You know, full of information. We pulled it out and we said, yeah, absolutely. You can look through any of this. I mean, it has always just been there. You know, we've had it. And we've read the information in it. And not that we've memorized every page of it, because there's a lot of pages, yeah. Right? But it was all the same information that we'd been telling him his whole life.
Yeah.
Just pieces by pieces, but then you get to see it all in one, right? But if we had just waited until he was 18 and said, all right, now there's something. I know you're adopted because you were, you know, 4 when you were adopted, but let me just give you all the information now. Now you can read it all. It would have been overwhelming. Yeah. It would have been debilitating. It would have been just like, I can't even, you know, move forward.
Yeah. So it's pretty common knowledge, I think, amongst people who know a little bit about us, that I used to work at a church. And the executive pastor of that church had this quote: the first time I walked into his office and the last time I walked into his office, it was on his dry erase board on the wall. And it just written across the top. And every time I was there, I stared at it. And for the longest time, I worked there for years, for the longest time, I always looked at it and thought, I don't want to think about that. But I think I understand it now. The quote's this, and it wasn't attributed to anybody, it was just on his board. It said, leadership is disappointing people at a rate they can tolerate. And that always sounded so off to me, because about disappointing people and stuff like that. But the truth of the matter is, and we've been pretty vocal about this for a long, long time, in our belief that parenting is a leadership exercise. It is a leadership you know, is a leadership lab, raising kids and stuff like that. And then I realize when you put that in a parenting context, and particularly in this very specific context that we're talking about tonight, that we're in the very peculiar position of knowing a story that we've not been part of all the way. Mm. So we know details of something we've not been a part of. Mm-hmm. And now we have to invite an active participant into that story, into their own story.
Yeah.
Because it was, I mean, it
seems really convoluted when you say it that way.
Right.
Because it's calculus, right? It's not arithmetic. It's calculus,
right?
And it's a complicated equation. And I think that's what most of us just don't bother, because we don't we don't think it through all the way, because it's a really complicated sequence of things to think through. But the truth of the matter is that this is the leadership quote now, is that you have to invite your children into their own story at a rate they can tolerate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because if you do it all at once, it's overwhelming, right?
Yeah.
It's like somebody once told me, you know how God is gracious to you? And I said, oh, Bill Rector, you know Bill.
Yep.
Chris. Bill said to me, do you know how God is gracious to you? And I said, how? And he said, because at no point in your life will he ever let you fully understand the complete nature of your sinfulness.
Mm.
And I said, huh? And he goes, because if you were confronted with every bad thing that you ever did, it would be so overwhelming, you would just not be able to leave the house.
Mm.
And I'll never forget that quote. We just need to get Bill on this thing. Because I quote him 10 times a week. Such a wise individual. But that's the truth of the matter, is that you can't just go, oh, here, you're 12. Okay, for your 12th birthday, we're letting you read the case files. We're telling you everything we know.
Right.
And by the way, I found your birth mom and we're meeting her for lunch. Like there's some people who, because that really feels like the Band-Aid approach.
Yeah.
Right.
Just rip it off and get it done with. But the truth of the matter, that would be crushing for a child.
Yeah.
Because that Band-Aid's not covering a little scratch. It's covering a massive hemorrhaging wound.
Oh, come on now.
Yeah. That's
like the way you said that.
Well, and I think the way we approach it too is really important. Because if we approach it from a, we just want to give them all the facts and all the details, but then we don't want to have a conversation about it, then they're like, okay, right? Like,
I just see Kayla with her PowerPoint, like,
with her
pie charts, and
we're not just giving them all the details. But so I think we have to get to a place where we can have a conversation and it not be too emotional for us.
Yeah,
that's good.
Because we got to work through whatever emotions we've got about the situation, right? Because some of our kids, we know the details of their story and it's really hard and it makes us really sad.
Yeah.
And some of the details of their story, it's really hard and it makes us really angry.
Mm.
And if we can't get through the conversation without being overwhelmed by our own emotions about it, then we will show our kids that we can't handle it and they won't talk to us about it anymore.
Yeah.
So if we...
That's so good.
Well, yeah, thanks.
No, I just... I mean, just in all honesty, like if there's like a nugget of wisdom to walk away with, it's back to that and back to something we've said in a previous episode, that one of the best things, and we didn't say it exactly like this, but one of the best things you can do for your children is work through your own stuff.
Yeah.
Because if you're still haven't processed and dealt with your hurts and hang-ups, being able to stay emotionally regulated while you read some very difficult things, it's going to be impossible. And then you've now shown that the way to deal with your feelings is either to be angry or go hide in your bedroom. And neither of those are healthy ways to deal with your feelings.
Yeah.
But then children watch that and they go, I guess that's what we would do with big feelings around here.
Yeah.
We yell about it or we storm out.
Yeah. And it's not to say that you can't be emotional. It's just that you can't be overwhelmed by emotion.
Yeah.
Right?
The emotions can't control you.
You have to be able to handle it. Like, you know, one of our boys said, you know, do you love my birth mom? And I was like, oh, I have some big, strong feelings when it comes to your birth mom, you know, like.
Yeah. I'm like, love her? I don't even know her.
Yeah. And it.
I didn't say that.
But because I wanted to be able to have these open conversations, I kind of threw it back and I said, well, how do you feel about your birth mom? And he was like, well, I love her. And I said, I love you. and you love her, so I guess by extension, I love her too. And he was like, oh, okay. And that was good enough. That was all he needed, right? He just needed to know. And then he would ask other questions, you know, here and there. But I knew in that moment, it was a pivotal moment. Like,
yeah.
If I don't answer this the way he's thinking that, you know, like, if I say no, I mean, you know, with all these things that happened to you, like, you know, if I went negative on it, or if I was like, oh my gosh, she's just amazing and wonderful. You know, if I went the other way, he wouldn't believe it.
Yeah.
Because he knows the story.
Right.
He knows what's going. And so it was almost like he was testing me, like,
yeah.
How are you going to respond to this in this moment?
Well, I think too, maybe not necessarily just testing you, but perhaps even testing himself through you.
Yeah.
Right? Like, Is it okay for me to love my mom despite the things that I know about my story? Well,
hold on.
Right?
Yep.
I have never, in the 175 episodes we've done together, in the space of 2 minutes, been dazzled by both of you. No, and that's
so glad we're recording this.
Right, exactly. We can pull that out for later on.
I will pull it out and send it to you. No, but that was really good. No, that was really deep. Like I, you started talking. I was like, where the heck is Turner going with this? I thought, that's really profound.
Yeah.
And maybe I think it's so profound because that never occurred to me. Like I feel like I learned something.
Well, yeah. I think it goes back really to the whole thing that we've talked about in past episodes where sometimes our kids don't have the language to ask the questions.
Yep.
Right. And so to me, when you were saying that just now, Kayla, that's what I thought about was he may not necessarily have the emotional vocabulary to be asking you the question he really wants to ask you, right? But he can ask that question.
Right.
Well, maybe
that will help him kind of process what he's feeling.
Because if mom says, oh, I do love your birth mom, then it makes it okay for me to love her.
Yeah, that was my takeaway from when you said that.
Yeah.
Is maybe there's another thing happening, is he's really asking your permission.
Mm.
Yeah.
He's really saying, is it okay if I love her?
Right, right. And I don't know that I knew it in the moment, but I can see it as being a permission asking kind of moment, because
it's only natural for a child to want to love his mom.
Right.
Right.
Absolutely. Even though the memories were not necessarily good memories,
but
there's this natural instinct, right? But it almost feels like I shouldn't, knowing what I know.
Yeah.
Like, ooh, maybe I shouldn't. And so our kids want permission to feel their big feelings. Mm-hmm. They want permission to be able to talk about them. And that's what I've seen with our kids, is that because we always have had this open, there's no competition. Like, it could be really easy to have a competition. In particular, I think for moms, because most of our kids, we know who mom is, and not all of our kids do we know who dad is.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Ryan and I have talked about this before, where it's like for most of our kids, there's no dad to compete with, so to speak. But I have, you know, two of our kiddos, we have, you know, I communicate with their birth moms on a weekly basis, like a regular basis. I'm communicating with them. And I always refer to our kids as our kids. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll send, you know, one of our daughter's birth mom, I'll send, you know, a message and I'll say, look, you know, she started a new job, and I texted her a picture and I was like, look at our girl. She got her first job, you know, because I realized that both are okay. Mm-hmm. You know, we can both be mom and that's okay. But it's taken me a long time.
I was about to say, that's wisdom that came with time.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was not always that way. And so telling the story to our kids helps us to be better able to say,
I think it also humanizes everybody in their story.
Yeah.
The more you talk about them.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, because at the beginning, particularly if the child is coming to your home in foster care, right? Not so much in adoption because you know, the baby could have been placed at birth and stuff like that. But in foster care, the child has had to be harmed or neglected in order to enter the system.
Right.
And so the people in the child's story are automatically adversarial in your mind the moment you learn about the child.
Right. Yeah.
And I think it's so healthy for us to humanize and have a lot of compassion for people in that story. In ways that if you don't talk about it, because what happens with humans is if we don't talk about it and all the negative thoughts fester, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Like we do coaching, and one of the things I always tell people is, like, you have to talk to somebody about what's going on, because if you just leave it in your head, you're going to start believing the lies, mm-hmm. and you're going to spiral downward, and it's going to fester, right? It's the piece of pizza. At my house, everybody loves pizza. They argue about who has the last piece of pizza, except if they don't eat the last. If dad overbuys and two pieces of pizza go in the fridge, well, next week when there's green fur growing on the pepperoni, nobody wants the pizza. Mm-hmm. And that's what happens with our feelings, is green fur grows on our feelings, and then nobody wants to deal with them. We're up against it, but I feel like we're just starting to have a conversation about this.
Well, there's so many tangents we could go on in this one conversation, because we can talk about the way we talk about the biological family.
Mm. Yep.
Because that's such a big part of their story, and it can be really hard to talk in a positive way, but we also don't want to talk in too positive a way that it's unicorns and butterflies, right?
Yeah, that's true.
I had a friend who was she's an adoptee and also an adoptive mom and was a foster mom. Mm. And she was adopted at 6 months old. So she was placed, it wasn't a foster care situation. It was a relinquishment, but at 6 months old.
Yeah.
So it wasn't right at birth. So there was this period of time where she lived with her biological family, and then she was placed for adoption. And her parents always told her the story as, we had room in our hearts to love one more kid, and God placed you in our family just to fill that gap. And that was like the only story she was told.
Mm.
And she said, but in my mind, I always knew there was this period of time where I lived with my biological family, and I didn't know why I didn't live with them anymore. All I knew was my parents said, you know, God placed you in our home because we had, you know, love to give or whatever. And she said, and so I put it together that I must have been a really bad baby.
Mm.
And that's why they placed me for adoption. And so she said, I tried my very best to always be perfect, because I didn't want to be someone who they didn't want to parent anymore.
Wow.
Because she assumed that that was what had happened. Like, oh, well, I mean, my birth mom kept me until 6 months old. I must have just been a bad baby, so I can't be a bad kid. I've got to be. And so she said, it finally came to a head when she was in high school. And she said, I can't remember exactly what she said, but it was something like, you know, I got a 95 on a paper or something. And I just had like a total and complete meltdown. And she said, and my parents had never like said, oh, you have to make straight A's or you have to be a perfect student or whatever. And she said, my mom was like, what is going on? Why is this so important? And she's like, and I finally like had the words and was like, well, I don't want you to not want me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because for her entire life, her parents thought they were doing her a favor by telling her just the sunshine and roses. And she really needed to know what was going on. Like, it would have been really helpful for her to know. And I don't know the actual story, but maybe the story was there was, you know, it was poverty and they didn't have the finances to take care of a baby, or maybe there was sickness or there was something going on in the family unit or whatever, young mom or, you know, some piece of it to make it where she didn't say, it must have been me. Right. I have to be perfect. And she's like, my parents love me. They were trying to do the best, but the unicorns and butterflies was not, that wasn't the approach, you know? And so I think the way we talk about it with our kids has to be balanced. It has to be, and it has to be truth, but it also can't sugarcoat the hard and it can't villainize the birth family. So it's like, how do you have that balance, right?
Yeah.
So there's so many.
It's almost like you have to become a little dispassionate about it to a degree.
Yeah. But you don't want to be too dispassionate that they go, oh, this is just like a, you know, factual, right? It has to be this conversation. So it can be tricky. And that's why I think this conversation could go in so many ways, because we could talk about, you know, more ways to talk about, you know, how do you have that conversation, or how much do you tell? I think the question we always get asked is like, when do I tell my kids the really hard things, you know? And it's like,
well, and the answer is likely, when do I tell my kids about sex? Sooner than you want to.
Right.
Yeah. The answer is probably sooner than you want to, for both of those. Yeah.
For everything, right?
Every conversation you're intentionally trying to avoid with your children is an indicator that you're past the point to which you should have told them.
I probably should have already told them at this point.
Yep.
Write that down.
Oh, goodness.
Well, As you said, Gail, we could probably spend easily another couple of hours on this one topic alone. So we'll have to do a future episode at some point to dive in a little deeper. And if you have questions that we could maybe answer on such an episode about telling your kid their story, please give us a drop us a line, podcast@onebighappyhome.com, and we'll be sure to read it and work it in later on.
Also, if you do send that email, it is being forwarded directly to Kayla. No, hey, listen, we didn't get into it, but Kayla recently spoke at a conference. And so typically over the years, we've done breakout sessions together at conferences, but we've started doing like more keynotes and more like breakout sessions by ourselves. And I got the privilege of sitting in the audience and being taught by my wife a whole session on, it was great.
Thanks.
A whole session on and telling your kids their story. So I think we should do some future stuff and maybe unpack some of the real practical things that you had in that presentation.
Yeah.
Well, as always, thanks for listening. Take care.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Empowered Parent Podcast. If you have any questions or topics you'd like us to discuss in the podcast, you can email us at podcast.onebighappyhome.com. Please like and share the podcast with your friends and family, and you can find us on your favorite social platforms by searching for One Big Happy Home. Thanks for listening.